Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
You have to ride them waves.
Charlotte Soccer Show, welcome in. John Hayes here for another edition of Decoding the Presser. It's my debut here on this fantastic segment that Danny Brams has lifted up and brought to the Charlotte FC family. And it's my turn in the chair today. I'm super excited about it. Dean Smith spoke on Thursday. It's now Friday morning. At the time of this taping, we're looking ahead to Saturday's nooner, the match against New York City FC at Yankee Stadium, Saturday at noon. Charlotte FC heading and up north to the Big Apple to try and accomplish MLS history. They've already tied Seattle Sounders, 9 wins in a row, post-shootout era, of course, going for double digits, going for 10 to set the new record on Saturday. Dean Smith was asked about that, amongst many other things. A bit of a long press conference this week, so let's get right into it.
What can you tell us about availability this weekend?
Pretty much everybody apart from Toff is available for selection.
Quickly, I'm going to jump in here. You know what that means? Pep Bial, who was available for selection against Inter Miami, did not start, but he's back. He's feeling good after another week of practice.
Archie's back
in full training. He just had a tight hamstring over the last week or so, but everybody else is fine.
What's the timetable on Toff?
Well, from what I've seen him doing, there's an argument that he can be on the bench next week or even start next week. Is he in Montreal next week? Yeah. So he's in a good place.
Who are we playing next week? One game at a time.
In terms of, we saw on social media, and even Wolf made mention of it after the game, you know, he took the guys out to dinner on Monday, and, you know, guys getting together like that, a whole team, non-team sanctioned event, that doesn't happen often. What does it mean for Wilf to do that? But how tight-knit the group is to make that happen?
I think it shows that they're very tight-knit. The fact that they all want to go out together. You know, the fact that Wilf's pain probably has something to do with that as well. You know, I did tell him, you know, his choice of restaurant was very nice and probably a little bit expensive, and asked him if he wanted a sub as well. But he said no, he should be able to afford it. You know, so yeah, I believe they went out. But it shows the character of the squad, and I think it helps. I've coached in England, as you know, and, you know, Birmingham and London, it's difficult to get all the players together because they all live so far apart. You know, in the US, it's it's a lot easier. Everybody lives in Charlotte, you know, so it's a lot easier to get everybody together. But they've still got to like each other to want to do that as well. And, you know, that's the pleasing thing for us.
Have you been around many teams as tight-knit as this one?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I try to do in creating a culture and an environment of a club. Make it as much family orientated as we can. You know, so it's not just the players who are playing, but the families are getting on well together as well. So it's not just about the players, it's the families as well. You know, and it's about cultivating a good culture and a good environment.
I know you are.
There's definitely been a good culture at Charlotte FC, I think, since Dean Smith came on board. And that really was his goal here, I think, and the club's goal as well. Too many management changes, too many players in and out. How does Dean Smith come in here, someone with experience, create a culture? And I think we're seeing that play out. I think one other point I want to make, very nice of Wilfred Zaha to take the crew out to dinner. That being said, I think if you were to check the bank accounts potentially of all the players on Charlotte FC, I think one will look a little bit different than the other. So Wilfred Zaha is probably that. So good on you, Wilf, for spending that money on your teammates and showing the love.
Or an XG disciple, and I was looking at, depending on the metric you look at, it's eighth or ninth outperforming your XGA, and there's always contributing factors, whether it's Kalina, the way that you guys have chance creation, sometimes a fortune involved in it. What do you think is the biggest thing that is helping you guys kind of outperform the way you guys have been defending?
Being really good in both boxes. I said that last week. You know, and I do like XG, but, you know, it depends where you read it. You know, somebody can have a big XG for one moment. And what I mean by that, they have a big chance, goalkeeper saves it, they have another big chance, he gets knocked on the line, knocked off the line, and then another goalkeeper save. And that should only just be one XG rather than the three that's added up. Obviously, you know, the penalty last week would have been 0.82. You know, so that's how it can get skewed a little bit at times. But
we're in
just
the weeds,
think it's
pretty
a good
quickly here.
Indicator to your performance levels, and you know, at the moment we are very good in both boxes.
Yeah, I don't necessarily follow the XG stat. I think it's interesting. Dean Smith hit the nail on the head. It's about big chances. After every match, I go to our favorite website, SofaScore, and I take a look at how many big chances were created and who created them, and whether they're finished or not. Sometimes it's random. Sometimes it's a good finish, like Dean mentioned. Sometimes the ball gets cleared off the line. That's soccer. That happens. But if you're creating big chances, forget about XG. But if you're creating big chances, which usually leads to XG, by the way, it's basically the same thing. That's a really good sign.
You have a fun problem. 9-game win streak. You've used roughly the same lineup mostly.
Was this a Will Pelagic
kind of in the wings that
exclusive?
Obviously, can be a game changer. How do you juxtapose wanting to get Pep back in versus not messing with what's working?
No, for me, it's to look how players train. You know, we've had the performance that we had last week, but then look how the players train this week, see who's ready, look at the opposition, and put a team together for that. You know, I'm not one that, you know, all in that 11-1 last week, oh, they've got to play again the following week, you know, because a lot can happen in a week, you know, and I've got to pick what I believe is going to be the best team for us to win the game.
You joked last year when you played at Yankee Stadium that you would practice the bases and sliding and things of that nature. Having gone through it, knowing the choice, knowing what you have to go through, how do you now know maybe how to better prepare for Yankee Stadium?
You know, I watched the game last night. Training the last couple of days, we've bought
our pitching
because we know it's going to be a tighter pitch in terms of the logistics and the size of it. You know, so we know what to go and expect. You know, we've won our last three on the road away from home, so we're.
I think I just need to stop it there for a second. Did you hear what he just said? Charlotte FC has won their last three on the road. It's hard to believe that's real.
Yeah, well, there's no fear for us in going to the Yankee Stadium to play, and we're excited and looking forward to it.
Have you seen a change with the way that maybe teams perceive and or just play you from a mentality aspect, going from the hunter to the hunted? You know, you got a target on your back with none on the spin.
No, I haven't really, to be honest. I mean, you know, we went away to New England and got the result there. We probably weren't the best team on the day. Probably a draw would have been a fair result, but Miami come and, you know, they're not going to be scared of coming to play us with the players that they've got available. So we haven't seen that, but, you know, there'll be teams that will want to halt that run for sure. And where we both are in the standings as well is going to be big this weekend as well. So it's a big game for both teams.
Carol?
Are there any similarities, do you think, between this run and the one you went on in Aston Villa?
Yes and no. I mean,
it always comes back to Villa.
I felt the one at Villa, we were in control for very many periods. You went into each game knowing you were going to win because of the players that you had available at the time. You know,
for what it's worth, Aston Villa hasn't scored a goal yet in the Premier League this year. Only team, only club Aston Villa is in all, I think it's seven English tiers that hasn't scored a goal. Maybe this weekend, Ollie Watkins will open his account for 2025.
This run has been about, you know, being really, really strong and comfortable in both boxes, but not having as much control of the games. You know, like that Villa run, I remember going to Rotherham away and Tyrone Mings got sent off and we're down to 10 men, 1-0 down, and came back in the second half and won the game 2-1. So there's times when you have down moments and you have to turn it around and show resilience, and I think this team's shown that as well. But obviously there's going to be comparisons just because of the number of games it is, and you know, I could match the record I had at Villa if we win this game on Saturday.
What do you think it says about you?
I'm streaky.
You're streaking or streaky?
You're streaky. Yeah, no.
Carol.
As I've always said to you, I don't get too high and I don't get too low. And I was never, you know, during that period when we were away from home, I knew that we had a good set of players there and we weren't getting the points that I felt that we deserved.
You're doing the pausing last week kind of showed that you're able to be light and, you know, to have some brevity in the midst of whatever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it was a moment that's been exaggerated, I think, a lot. That, you know, in the UK, I think it was reported that I'd done it after our first goal. You know, no, it was, you know, I said I'd like to do it with the supporters. You know, a little bit tongue-in-cheek to you all, but, you know, I respect what our supporters give us at home, and I just felt it was an opportune time to, because I wouldn't have been able to do it with the fans behind the goal and get up to watch the game in time. So I just thought, let's drag Tommy Wilson and Dave into it and, you know, just show our appreciation to what our supporters give us as well.
Get the heart rate up a little bit.
We got it up a little bit, yeah.
Tok Lamotte and his ability to finish, he's making it look easy right now. I mean, I don't think it's that easy, right?
No, it's not easy. You know, forwards who score goals across the world are the most expensive ones because it's the hardest job to do. It's certainly much easier to block the goal than it is to go and create and score. And what he's doing really well at the moment. He's got, he gets in the right areas. His work rate helps him get in the right areas as well. And his attitude and application, you know, what's helping him get the goals now.
Edan Tok Lamotte is a forward that scores a lot of goals. What did he say? When a forward scores a lot of goals, that's what makes somebody's price go up. Danny and I have talked about this. This moment for Edan Tok Lamotte is absolutely massive. There's players in MLS who have absolutely come on the scene, played incredibly well as young players, and have gone on to Europe to have success and play at the highest level. We've seen Patrick Ajimong come into Charlotte, have success, and then go play in the championship. What do you think Edan Tok Lamotte's ceiling is? It's really interesting. And if he bags the goal against New York City and this win streak it moves on to 10, sky's the limit for the kid. I almost feel like it already is.
What do you mean when you say attitude and application? What is it that you're teaching
him? Well, he takes – he takes information on really well. He's a really good learner. You know, he wants to get better, but then, you know, you've got to then go and put that into action. You know,
full package?
He doesn't, even though he's scoring the goals, he's no different as a person. He's not, you know, grew a couple of inches as some people could if with their chest out and their shoulders back. He just gets down to his work week in, week out, and it's pleasing to see for us.
That's one for me. Just what are you wanting him to do? How are you challenging him?
To keep pushing himself, to keep, you know, keep making the runs that we want him to. When we lose it, go and counter press, win the ball back where we can, you know, and continue finishing like he has been.
Mike. Cheers. Nice run of questions from our friend Carol there. Wait, Carol Walt.
This far into it, what's the message?
Make sure you subscribe to her weekly newsletter, Football Friday, on the Charlotte Ledger.
You'd like to have the record outright. I mean, it's the elephant in the room. Have you changed the messaging this week, knowing that it's, you know, what could potentially be, you know, the pot of gold there at the end?
No, we know that there's an opportunity. Listen, we hold the record now, but we know there's a chance on Saturday to hold it on our own. And to do that, we've got to go out and perform. You know, they're a good team. They're in form at the moment as well. I think they've won 10 games at home this season as well. So, you know, it's a tough place to go, but we're in form as well. And, you know, we need to go and challenge them on their own turf. And we know that we can go and do that.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
And at the end of it, there is, as you say, you know, pot of gold. You don't get anything for it apart from, you know, being entered into the history books, which we managed to get into last week.
What's interesting is that this win streak and this record-setting win streak is kind of putting the supporter shield, MLS Cup, real accomplishments that this team could actually achieve this year on the back burner a little bit, maybe taking off a little bit of pressure this win streak is, because I think Charlotte FC is squarely in the supporter shield race right now, especially if 3 points are put in the bank on Saturday and another couple results go the Crown's way.
The start time, this is, you guys are creatures of habit, creatures of routine.
Oh, good question. Mike Salarte here.
They throw a noon kick at you this week.
Noon kick.
How does that alter the nooner. What you guys do in terms of an operational standpoint?
I logistically will leave a little bit earlier, you know, and we'll train the same time tomorrow, but we'll leave here a little bit earlier and get there a little bit earlier, probably eat a little bit earlier because we've got to be up early. But their pre-match or breakfast, whichever it will be 3.5 hours before kickoff. And, you know, the lads are creatures of habit, as you say, so they'll know what their preparation is ready for the game, and, you know, they'll be ready for that.
Merseyside Derby, 7:30. Maybe the coach will get an eye on that, maybe the first half before
breakfast. I'll tell you about 3 o'clock on Saturday. But it feels stupid o'clock at the moment. Usually them sort of games in England, that if it's two rivals and, you know, they want to keep the opposing fans off the beer.
What?
I'm sorry, Dean. You're not going to be able to keep us off the beer on Saturday, even if it's a noon game. I'm hearing rumblings of a 7:30 a.m. start at Dom's Dive Bar Saturday morning. Sorry, Dean. I hate to disappoint you.
Last one for me. What has this, as you have described and Will described, this spin been like for you in terms of being a coach? Not the, okay, we're doing the right things. I mean, there's got to be a certain amount of gratification to see your guys maybe not be the better team on the day, but still get the result and string together this streak.
And I think the players have shown an awful lot of character to come out of where we were in June after the run of results, and to come through that, but then to continue what we were doing. And then you go into the League's Cup and you lose Pep, who's been your main goal scorer, main creator, and then, you know, start again and keep doing it. And we've been consistent in what we've been doing, and we've been relentless as well. And that hunger can't dry up. It has to continue.
Jorge.
Dean, your first match in MLS was against New York. The start of the streak was against New York. Is there like a special relationship between you and New York?
I had a good bachelor party there with my son. I don't know. No, it's just coincidence, I think.
His son's bachelor party? Dean's son had a bachelor party in New York and his father was invited? Or just a weekend for the boys? That needs a follow-up.
There's coincidences that happen, and you know, this is just one of them.
Nice. How, in your mind, how ready is Pep to be back in the starting lineup, if that's what you choose?
No, he's ready. I thought about it last week, but I didn't want to throw him in and have to bring him off after an hour, you know, because I knew what that game could mean last week, and I thought it would be better bringing him on for 30 minutes. Ended up being 15 minutes, I think. So yeah, he's ready to start if I decide to choose him.
Is that
I think Pep Biel is going to start. Well, I've got a hunch based on that answer.
Difficult in one way, in you know, that you're going to have to upset somebody who's played well. Not difficult in another way, that I want my best players on the pitch when I can, and if I think it's the right time. So, you know, but again, that's what I've been doing for the last 12 years, making difficult decisions at times.
Nice. What have you noticed from Drake Callender and his trainings with Charlotte so far?
The what, sorry?
Drake Callender, what have you noticed from him?
He's certainly up the level for our goalkeepers. You know, they're all pushing each other because the calibre's really high, and that can only be a good thing. Aaron comes in after training with a smile on his face, knowing that he's had a really good session with really good goalkeepers, and they're all pushing each other, and that's why, you know, we wanted to bring somebody of his calibre into the building.
I understand this storyline, and it's not incorrect, right? Drake Callender coming to Charlotte FC. It's an interesting signing. The point of the signing is to push Kalina to play better and fight for that starting position next year to create the depth. But I think this whole Drake Callender changing the goalkeeping room is a bit of a facade. It's a fake story. Christian Kalina is the reigning goalkeeper of the year, and he's potentially putting up numbers to achieve that award once again. So welcome to the team, Drake, but let's not give him too much credit for showing up to practice and never playing in a match.
Nice. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but Luis Enrique has been watching the first half of some PSG matches from the stands and the second at the box. He's mentioned just to get that different angle. You kind of had that this past weekend, you know. Is there anything different that you may see tactically that may help you that way? Or is that, what do you think of that just in general?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've seen there's many coaches who've done that. John Gregory, who used to be Aston Villa manager and Derby County, he came over a few weeks ago. I invited him over to have a look at what we do and how we do it. And he used to do that. He used to sit up in the stand and watch, because it gives you a different eye. And I spoke last week. I mean, what it takes away a little bit is the feel that you get for the game on the side of the pitch. And, you know, last week I was really comfortable with what I was seeing. You know, and I could hear on my earpiece that, you know, on the dugout at times it was like, we need to make a sub, do we need to? And I was like, no, we're all right, calm. You know, let's be calm. I can see it up here. You know, they're not opening us up. They're not giving us big problems. So I think it allowed myself to be a little bit calmer up there.
Nice. Would you, in the future, I guess, try that method? Or
yeah,
no.
Possibly.
No.
You know, I've done it before. Only once or twice, though. I'm more of a person who likes to be on the sideline and have a feel for the game and try and influence what I can from down there. So, but I'll have a look at it. Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have a look at it, but let's be real. Dean Smith is going to manage every match from the sidelines. He's not going to choose to be upstairs. I've done it once or twice. Are we sure he wasn't on a yellow card accumulation suspension those other times as well?
Will there be any, I guess, special or anything extra that you might add if, you know, the team makes it 10 wins in a row?
No. No, they'll get a pat on the back after the game. They'll get their normal schedule, which is already out, so they know what they're going to be doing.
Back to work.
But they know for us, it's just one game at a time, and you
show up on time, or otherwise you're fine.
What come with records are not to be frowned upon, but to be enjoyed. But then we've still got work to do to still finish in top four.
Thank you.
Cheers.
You talked a lot this year about, not being too high with the highs or low with the low.
Just briefly, top four. This club, yes, is trying to finish in the top four, but I think there's something else out there too.
But I'm sure it's pretty easy to get wrapped up a little bit in the excitement that you're hearing just around the team. I was talking to Wesley, and he said that pre-match, you guys have a talk about staying grounded. Can you just expand a little bit about what's kind of said about staying as level-headed, even amongst like the excitement that's going on?
Yeah, I mean, we want to be performing for, first and foremost yourself. I always say to the players, after the match, they go back home, and the first thing when they hit the pillow is they start thinking about their performance. So do it for yourselves first, do it for the family, do it for the fans. So after all that, you can only control certain things in a game. So we talk very much about, right, we're going away from home tomorrow to New York. It's going to be different. It's not going to be harder because it's the same every time you play. Just concentrate on what you can control. Your professionalism going into the game. Are you in the best possible shape, best place to be ready for that game? And then first thing you do, whether it's a header, tackle, pass, make sure it's a good pass because that will get you straight away a good feel of the game. So it's really a message of just control the controllables all the time.
But Dean's a really good leader. What a great message.
You talked about that moment where after we had the Patrick, some of the other players on the team had to tell him what to do, and of course, obviously giving him that opportunity. Just as this young star, it seems like he's getting a lot of mentorship on the team. How much do you like that from a manager perspective to see some of your other leaders on your team taking younger players under their wings?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, we've got a mentorship program. A mentorship program here already, where, some of the more experienced take some of the younger players under their wings. So that's been ongoing all season, and it's really good to see. I mean, I love the fact that he scored the penalty and he looked straight at Wilf. There's a look of love there, wasn't there? He was brotherly love, and he was
brotherly love.
To see. And
yes,
that's
exactly.
A great thing for the lads to have amongst them now.
How have you seen that mentorship program affect him specifically this year?
I think it helps because, his first language is not English, it's helped to be speaking to other people in and amongst the group, and they've got on really well. And I think just the experiences, some people will have come through that experience of coming from another country to come and play here, and you've got to adapt. And, some of the things that have helped, for instance, Nathan Byrne can help somebody like that. Ashley Westwood can. And, it's been important for, helping the lads settle in.
For what it's worth, Nathan Byrne also was at the podium this week. Because of the length of this press conference, we're not going to decode that one this week. But you can go to Charlotte FC's YouTube page. You can go to charlottefc.com, charlottefootballclub.com, I should say, and check out what Nate Byrne said, a pivotal player for this squad. Doesn't really get all the shine and the love, but ever since Nathan Byrne's been back, he's played incredibly well.
Cheers. Thank you.
I just want to follow up.
Cheers. Thank you.
With the mentorship program, how are the pairs chosen? And for Elon,
I'm not sure who his mentor is, but we have a sports psychologist who's here as well. He came up with the mentorship program and has worked with the players with that, with the input of myself and John Curry as well, the performance coach. And at the moment it's working really well. Obviously, we'll put French-speaking people with, other people who are French-speaking and sometimes Spanish-speaking, Pep Biel with Kerwin Vargas and things like that. It just helps
it's
people
the global game
a little bit more.
I also wanted to ask, or take it back to your perspective Saturday from the box, even beyond the tactical perspective, was there anything that you were able to glean from this team regarding their growth or as a whole as you were looking at them from that?
I was really happy with my coaching staff that, you know, they took over without me being on the sidelines.
Shout out to Miles Joseph.
You know, just helped the plan, the plan that we had for the game just flow. I spoke down to them every now and again and gave it some information that I was seeing from up there. But playing wise, I think we're in a good place in terms of knowing what we want to do without the ball and with the ball. We can get better on both aspects still, but it was pleasing to see how comfortable we were at times. Cheers, yeah. Thank you.
Do you feel like you're still very much in the hunt for the supporter shield?
There we go, Carol. She's back with a great question.
Yes, we are then.
Are you guys using that? You
know? No, not at the moment.
There we go.
I don't have to tell the players. The players look at, you know, we put their numbers up from their running stats from during the game in the treatment room, and they all look at them, and I guarantee they all look at the table, and they all look and see
high on that table.
What numbers they got if they got numbers. So I don't need to tell them; they know. And you know, but we've got to win games to continue to be in that challenge.
Thank
you.
Hey, Dean.
Hey, mate.
Just something I've been thinking about recently, and Jorge had touched on it with bringing Pepe on to the team, to a winning team. The cliche is you don't really change a winning team. And when you're on the run like this, there are a lot of guys who are on the margins who understand that perhaps they're not going to get as much time. From a man management perspective, how do you keep them as motivated? Are they as motivated? How do you keep them feeling like they're involved in everything that's going on?
The hardest part of management or coaching is, you know, making sure that the players who aren't playing feel involved. That's the hardest part that I have. The 11 who are chosen, they're fine. You know, I'll pick the team tomorrow morning. They all know they're playing. The other ones don't know whether they're going to get any minutes or not. And my job is to make sure that they're feeling valued, but also getting the work that we need there for them to come on and make a difference. And, you know, and my message is always the same to them. You know, you can be disappointed, you can be unhappy about not playing, but the only way to show it is when you go on the training ground, because if you train with a sulk, do you think you're less likely or more likely to play next week? And the answer is, if you're sulking and not training well, less likely. So it's in their control in terms of what they do and how they train, but they're valued, because I've said many times, you have finishers that finish the game for you and have to see the game through. And that can be any one of nine players on the sidelines.
One more very quickly for me. You said that you watched NYCFC yesterday against Columbus. Big ending. They never gave up on the game. Any sort of main takeaway from that performance?
Hell of a finish.
Yeah.
If that was happening against us, I would have liked a tactical foul on the centre circle, I must admit. But I thought it was a really tight game. I'm not sure either team deserved to win watching the game. It looked very much a hectic game of second balls. And I think you sometimes get that at the Yankee Stadium. And, you know, we've got to be ready for that.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Nobody deserved to win that one. It's
been talked about by many European managers as maybe even the more desirable trophy to win than the MLS Cup. Would that hit a little different for you? I know it seems foolish to think about four games to go, but would that be something that you would maybe cherish more than an MLS Cup?
I'll tell you when I've won both. I don't know.
Talk to me in November, you know, after two trophies.
I've been brought up in a country where it's all about being the top of the top after the regular season, but then I've had probably my biggest triumph was in the playoffs with Aston Villa, getting them promoted. So for me, either. I mean, I think you can take a lot of credit for finishing top of a regular season, whether that's top of the Eastern Conference or whether it's the Supporters Shield. I would take a lot of pride in doing that. So, you know, we're 4 points behind Philly at the moment, and we've got to aim to try and finish that if we can.
I know that you buried last year's disappointment during the winter, but how hard is it from a human nature aspect not to think about, we have some unfinished business from last year, anything that's a motivator for good work, I'm sure for you is something you want to use to make sure that you're focused.
Certain things I can move on very quickly. Certain things I can't. I've moved on from that. You know, that is one of them things that happened last
year. I
think
that's relatable. This has been a new season. Not just football, but in life.
We've broke some records. We've won at some places that we've never won before. And we'll continue to do that over over the next few years. So, but the one thing that we want for our supporters is to try and get them a trophy. And, you know, there's only two ways, you know, we could get that this year, and that's Supporters Shield and the MLS Cup. So we'll be going all out in both.
Mike? With all the things that are going on, I mean, the win streak, the pursuit of the Shield, playoffs, you guys are locked in. Is this pressure time, or is this actually fun because of all that's out there for you guys?
I think good I called question. It squeaky bum time last season, didn't I? You know,
yeah, I viewed that as like nervous time.
Oh, well, it is for some. It's squeaky bum time for some. I think we're in a good place in terms of the players know what we want and they know what I want. You know, I don't give them reason to be panicking when they go out to play. And they don't give me any reason, you know, even when I'm sat in the suite, to be panicking too much as well. So, you know, for others, it might be a scramble to go and get into the playoffs or a playoff place. You know, for us at the moment, we're in a good place where we can just take it game by game and see what comes of that.
A talkative Dean Smith, a happy, a jolly, a manager that's in a good mood. How it would be difficult not to be in a good mood after winning 9 games in a row and setting the MLS record post-shootout era, of course, for wins in a row. Got to some good stuff at the end there, talking about the Supporter Shield only 4 points back. Do you believe it? Do you believe that it's possible? I do, for sure. This team's certainly on a run of really good form, and Philadelphia just lost 7-0 last week. I think there's you got to look out for San Diego out west as well. A lot of teams right now. This race for Supporter Shield is absolutely huge. And it's something that I think that I'm really looking forward to the finish of. So thanks for joining this episode of Decoding the Presser. I enjoyed my debut. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Danny Brams with Sasha Kleschen. Apple MLS Season Pass. That episode is dropping on Friday as well. If you're watching this Friday night, Saturday morning, ahead of the match, make sure you check out that episode as well. As always, we'll be back with another episode recapping the weekend's match against NYCFC. Danny and I will be back to chat about it. Make sure you listen to our roundtable. We had a really nice episode this week. Matt Geslin, the Charlotte Soccer Show photographer, he joined us after being pitch side during the Inter-Miami match. We got in depth on that messy PK, the missed Panenka that Christian Kalina was right there to save. It's a big time for Charlotte FC. Thanks so much for tuning into this longish episode of Decoding the Presser. I'm John Hayes. We'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have Leaf Filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A Leaf Filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, Leaf Filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.